The Lord be with you.
I
welcome you to this service of worship. So glad that you have come here today. Things will be different because we were together. Things will be different because you were here. As we begin our worship, I'd like to welcome our district superintendent and his lovely wife, Vic and Mary Brooke Cassad. They are here. They always sneak in and sit in the back, but we welcome you and we're glad to get a chance to worship with you, both of you. And as we begin our service today, I have several words of announcement to share with you. One is just an interesting aside. Some of you have asked about the creed that we use sometimes when we call it the Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada. Why are we using that? Well, for one thing, it's in our hymnal. For another, it is a beautifully written, concise statement of faith. But I wanted to just tell you, even though it says the United Church of Canada, the UCC Church there in Canada is made up of the Presbyterians, the Congregationalists, and the Methodists from the 1920s, from that time forward. Those denominations in Canada combined to form what is now called the United Church of Canada. So that creed is a rich one, and I invite us to say it together when we get to that point in the service and to know that we're claiming a faith that is ancient and that is affirmed by several denominations, including the Methodists. A few announcements. First of all, today after worship, we have our Wesleyan Campus Ministry Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day. And they have a Valentine's Day dinner in the fellowship hall right after this service, and you're all invited to stay. It's for donations. It's for a great cause. Brian, you want to add anything to that?
There's a silent auction as well.
And there is a silent auction, so you might want to plan to participate in that as well. Pastor's Bible study continues this week, 4 o'clock on Tuesday at the Lion's Den, and 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock on Wednesday. We are enjoying these studies on the fruit of God's Spirit, and it's not too late to jump in with either of those, noon or 6 p.m. Come as you can. And the last thing, was about church directory photos. That's it. Church directory photos are coming in April, and I wanted you to get those dates on your calendar. I believe it's the 22nd and 23rd. There's an announcement in our bulletin about it, and I want us to have full participation in that event. When we come to that, I'd like for us to all get our pictures made, and if you cannot absolutely be there, we want you to submit a picture. If you don't do either one of those things, I'm going to come take a picture of you, because we want everybody to be in this lookbook with your picture so that we can get to know each other even better than we already do. So that's coming in April, and we'll be a part of that. If you're new members or if you're thinking about joining, now's a good time. We'll jump in with you on that as well. I invite us now to call one another to worship. These smiles can go a long way, but let's turn our smiles toward God and worship Him this morning as the choir leads us in calling to worship.
Let us join in affirming our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now if you'll take the Faith We've Seen, the little black hymnal, and turn to 2128, come and find the quiet sinner. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet our guests and pass the peace of Christ.
So as we wind down, let our children come down to the front. I'm going to meet you this morning, and Shelley will be joining us for children's sermon. Come to the front where you belong. Good morning, boys and girls. Can you tell me what this is? I thought you were going to tell me it was a tablet computer. Oh, yes. What's on it? You got it. It's a dandelion. Several of you got it. And you know what those are, don't you? Those are the ones that you can blow. And, you know, well, last Sunday I got in a little trouble for sprinkling salt on the carpet. But today I brought some dandelions. And watch this. You dare me? How about that? And you know what those are? They look like little helicopters, but they're, you're right, Kerrigan, they are seeds. They are seeds. And everywhere one of those lands, a new dandelion plant will grow. Probably not on the carpet, but if they're outside, those things spread like crazy. And we really should take them out of our yards while there's still those little yellow flowers and not wait until they get like this. But when we blow them, they spread. And I'd just like to share with you that we would like for our faith to spread the same way. And when we have a chance to tell somebody about Jesus, to tell somebody about our church home and our church family, about God's love, we should take every chance to do that. And every time we do, it's like blowing one of those little seeds around. It sort of has a chance, at least, to plant something new. Because some people don't have the kind of faith that we have in God and in Jesus and the love that we share in the Holy Spirit. So it's good for us to share that, because Jesus said that when he left the disciples a long, long time ago. He said, you go and tell what good God has done for you. You go and make other disciples in my name, he said, in the name of Jesus. So we should tell people about Jesus and about our faith. And one of the best ways to do that, while it's sometimes hard to talk about our faith, one of the easiest things is just invite somebody to church. And I can guarantee you, if you can get your friends to come to church, they're going to hear about Jesus and his love. Okay? So let's work on that. Invite people. Invite your friends and their families, if they don't have a church home, to come and be a part of this one. And by doing that, we will be spreading a lot of good seeds. A lot of good seeds of Jesus' love and our love for each other. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we have a chance to share good news. We thank you that we have so much to celebrate here in our church home and our church family, and we ask you to help us be bold in sharing that and inviting other people, our friends, to come here and be a part of this church family and worship and sing and pray with us. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming to church today. Got it? All right.
As our ushers come forward to receive our offering, please remember that every $1 bill placed in the plate this month goes to our local food pantries at the Commerce Food Pantry and the Bread of Life Food Pantry. Let us turn to God in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love and your grace active in our lives. Through this humble offering, Lord, let us be able to plant seeds of your faith, hope, and love, and let them take root in the lives of others. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. may be seated. As we enter our time of prayer, please look at your bulletin insert with our prayer list. We join in grief the families of Al Stapleton, the death of his sister, family of Nancy, and the loss of her nephew, the Pemberton family, and there's actually a correction, William is sick, and Ebra has passed away. So for their family. We also lift up Jeff Helton's sister, Karen, and their grandson, Preston. We pray for Samuel and Gina. We lift up Jeff Oates and the Oates family. Jeff is sick, and we also have a condolence. Mikey Elwell's friend, Jeff, passed away unexpectedly. With all this on our hearts, are there other things to lift up before the Lord in concerns or joys? Yes, sir.
My stepfather passed away.
For your stepfather. We're sorry to hear that. For his loss of his stepfather. And sorry, say the name again. For Fred. Judy. All right. A joy for Haley and her husband who are here this morning. Welcome. Glad to have you. Anything else to lift up before one another and God? Then let us turn to God in prayer. God of us all, we give you thanks that each and every one of us is created in your holy image, that we are your beloved children. Lord, we pray that goodness may reign in our hearts, that we may treat everyone as your holy child, as our sisters and brothers. Let us reach out in love and embrace those who do not know the love of Christ. Lord, we pray for the day we'll all will be united in your family, that when your kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. God, we pray for your healing and your comfort through your Holy Spirit and through our hands and our hearts to be with all those who are grieving this morning, all those who have lost loved ones, for the loss of Mikey Elwell's friend Jeff, for Al Stapleton's sister, for Nancy's nephew, for Ebra, for Fred, for all those who are in grief, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be present with them, that they may know that they are not alone, that you are there alongside them. Let them have the faith to know that their loved ones are no longer suffering, but held in your eternal embrace. God, we lift up all those who are sick and are who are recovering, for we know you are the great physician, and so we ask for your healing upon Karen and Preston and Jeff and Samuel and Gina. Lord, we thank you for the guests that we have in worship today. We pray that this worship may strengthen our faith and inspire us to leave here sharing your love, to leave here following in the footsteps of Jesus the Christ, who lived and died for all, that we may be raised again to new life and life abundant. Lord, let us leave here living out his prayer so that these words may become true in our lives and throughout the world, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from the fifth chapter of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, found on page 179 of your pew Bible. It reads, By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. That was beautiful. And such an encouraging word to be still before God and know, just know the peace. And that God reigns in our world and in our lives no matter what. A word about our title this morning. I've titled our sermon, Good and Better. Well, I've also named it Generosity, and I'll say more about that in a few moments, but the good and better is what I want to approach now and just say we're used to thinking in superlative terms like good, better, and best. And best kind of puts a period at the end of a sentence because you can't ever get better than best, right? So I'd like for us to think of our progress with God and in our discipleship as good, better, and better. Because we can keep growing in that. You're smiling. Some of you know what I mean. We can keep on growing. So there's no such thing as best. Because see, if we get the best, then we're done, right? We get the best, then we can just quit trying because that's as good as it gets. Not so. I'd like to share with you today, in continuing our conversation about the fruit of the Spirit, Carol has read it for you beautifully, but I'd like to continue that reading with a little passage from Genesis 1, and it's Genesis 1, 26 through the first verse of the second chapter. Genesis 1, 26. It's interesting to notice that every day of creation, at the end of the day, however long you understand those days to have been, eons probably, but at the end of each segment, each occasion or each day of creation, God proclaimed it to be good. It says in Genesis 1:4, and God saw that the light was good. And in 12, and God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good every step of the way, at the end of every day. It was as if God was giving thanks and celebrating the goodness that was coming out of those moments of creation. And then at the end of the story, near the end of the first chapter, God is continuing to create, and it was so. Everything that God said became so. And it says in verse 31 of the first chapter, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It's been good all along the way, and now it's superlative. Very good. Well, that's kind of where I got our title for this morning, Good, Better, and Better. Because God proclaimed it to be good, and in the end, it was even better. But I don't know that even then creation had reached its full potential, nor has it now. Because God, at least as it says in the creed that we shared, God has created and is creating. Creation is ongoing. But as we focus on goodness, now the New Revised Standard Version calls it generosity. But as far as I could learn, that's the only translation that says it differently. In almost every other, it is referred to as goodness. Here in the passage about that Carol read for us about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So gentleness is one way to say that, or generosity is another way to say it. But as it is, I'd like to focus it on goodness, good and better. So how do we use the word good? How do we agree on what it means? Well, sometimes it seems these days that goodness, real goodness, is a little old-fashioned. Like a weakness, maybe, instead of a strength. When we say be good to our kids, we mean don't get in trouble, right? Sugar was our little white poodle. She weighed about 3.5 pounds. And she's been gone for a while now. But she was a really special dog, the first really tiny one that we had, and she gave us so much joy. But when we got to pick up Sugar from the breeder, he had held on to her for a while, I think thinking that he might keep her. She was about 4 months old when we adopted her, and he decided that she needed a home. And that breeder, I'll never forget how he seemed to love that little white poodle. And he just would hardly let go of her. And then just before we were about ready to leave, he held her up like this with her face right in his face. And he said, "Now you be good." She looked back at him like she understood. It's what all parents want for our children, our young. And, well, it's really what all children want from their parents as well. It's an overused word, though, in our culture. We talk about good things, good merchant. Oh, it's a good school, or oh, that's not a good school. A good doctor, a good car. Good kids or a good spouse. We overuse the word. Sometimes the word can be used to talk about something that amounts to good, like doing good in the world. We could say that someone set out to do good in the world and did well. And in doing well, after a time, forgot how to do good. So we get to the superlatives of good. It's not always good. Goodness is one of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, the very life of God in us that calls us to imitate God and to live with love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and self-control. Don't let your frustrations dictate your faith. Let your faith guide you. Let the goodness of God guide you through whatever is frustrating you. So, goodness versus generosity. We can't actually be generous, can we? But because God is generous, and all that we have already is given to us. So it would be arrogant to say that we're being generous with it. It's not ours to give, it's ours to share. Wesley had a rule. You know the rule, you've probably heard it from time to time. He said, this is about good, about doing good. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places that you can, at all the times you can, and to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. We can't muster up goodness, but we can pass it on. And the goodness that God has shared with us, we can show forward as goodness, like love in action. Love with its hand to the plow, pushing. Love with a burden on its back. Love following in the footsteps of the one who went about doing good continually. We can say, well, I try to be good. Well, I do. You might say the same thing. But Isaiah, the prophet, says when we do that, we fade like a leaf. And that nothing is good in us until God gets a hold of it, like the clay and the potter and God molds something out of the earth, out of the humus, out of the dust of the earth, and then finally God breathes into us the breath of life, the breath of goodness. God has made us. We are His. We are His sheep. But it is God's steadfast love that endures forever, and we participate in that. We are simply a few of the sheep of His pasture. We've been reading through some of these Beatitudes. Blessed are these. What does it really mean to be blessed? It means to be filled and to be completed. Sometimes that word gets used in annoying ways. Ways of privilege, which I think maybe even are not very Christian. Words like, go and be blessed. Or God has blessed me so much. We think of that as a personal witness of faith, and yet it sounds arrogant, as though God has favored me in some way or another. God has blessed me more than He's blessed you. And to say it sort of seems like comparing it. As though we deserved blessing. Can we possibly deserve blessing? If we deserved it, even if we could, then really it wouldn't be a blessing, would it? It would simply be payment for being good. But Genesis says that we are blessed for a cause, blessed to be a blessing. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Listen to these words that are aimed toward Abraham, but Abraham was the father of God, all of God's people, including you and me. This 12th chapter, the beginning of the story of the Hebrew people and of entire civilization. Genesis 12, 1. What's gone before is the creation account. Some call it the prehistory, and now the historical account begins. And it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. There it is. So that, the so that part. And that's an important part in almost every argument. The so that, because that is the final desired result. God has blessed us and made our name great so that we would be a blessing. That's true from Abraham and his people. It's true here in commerce because of the 120 years of history with which God has blessed you, this congregation. As far as I know, there aren't any survivors who were here 120 years ago when this started. I don't know, maybe some of you. I didn't mean to look at the choir. My point is, it has been passed down from generation to generation. Do not let it stop with you. Do not let the blessing die or end or have to be re-given to some other group across town. God has blessed us with a history and a future. God has blessed us with the hope that comes from looking forward as well as looking back. We look back and give thanks, but we won't want to live with hope. We look to the future, because it's got to get better. It's got to get better. You've had all kinds of pastors here. A used to be a wall of brass plaques out there by the office that listed them, and somebody took that down. I hope it's taken down so that my name can be added to it. It may vanish, I don't know, but it's got a lot of history on it. Some of them 1 and 2 years or less than 1 year in a couple of cases. But look, that's our history. We cannot put trust in our history. We put trust in our future, and God calls us to go from a land that was comfortable to a land we haven't even heard of. God doesn't tell them where they're going. When he points to Abram and says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house over to Greenville," no, he says, "Go to the land that I will show you. I'm not showing you yet. I want you to trust me." It's like a mystery ramble for a youth group. You don't know where you're going, but you know it's going to be fun. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with not knowing where we're going? With trusting God and saying, "Let's just go"? What time do we leave, preacher? What time does the bus get here? Let's go on a mystery ramble. Those things weren't in the script. But the point of all of this is that this blessing is for a reason. This is not just so that we can be good, or even just so that we can be better, but so that we can understand that our job is to make the world better around us. We are saddled with or privileged with the generosity that God gives in God's creation, and we are called to pass that goodness on. That's why it says good and better, because we are to pass along generously God's goodness. We are to pass it along so that the future is good and better and better. Do we deserve to be blessed? If we did, it wouldn't be a blessing. It would just be getting our due. It is a privilege. And so it is up to us to pass it on. We are blessed to be a blessing. Do you practice what you preach? That's a good question for your pastor. Do you practice what you preach, or do you preach what you practice? The only good that we can really claim is the fruit of the Spirit of God that's invested in us. That's why we're spending a week on each one of them, studying and preaching. Because it is God's Spirit welcomed in us and working in us, in me and in you. That is what makes the difference. That is what will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Let's get at it. Welcome this fruit of God's Spirit into your lives. You are invited to come to the altar to profess your faith or to renew it or to join this congregation of United Methodist Christians by any of the ways that we receive members. If any of those is for you, the door is wide open, and I invite you to come to the altar as we stand to sing this hymn of invitation. Tyler?
As God, the giver of life, has given us the gift of new life and the gift of new fruit in us, let us nourish that fruit and grow it. Let us mature it. Let us pay attention to it and live in the Spirit of God, which will help us to bear it. In Jesus' name, amen.